Welcome to another episode of Better Said Than Written, the podcast supplement of Arts of Cultures, where I make a personal connection with today's trending topics. I'm your host, Tamika Cody. Now, I know last time I said that I was going to give you my views of the New York Times bestseller, How to Be Black, by Baratunde Thurston. But you know, I wanted to talk about what is trending this week, domestic violence. It's very frustrating to see the headlines every morning in the newspaper about Ray Rice and his wife, Janae. I see it on the news. I see it in the papers, on social media, people's comments in Twitter, Instagram. You know, everybody's talking about it, but what are they doing about it? What are you doing about it? What am I doing about it? Now, I know there's organizations out there that helps women who are battered. But, you know, the truth of the matter is Janae and Ray Rice are going to have to come to some sort of conclusion on what to do about this situation between them. Now, it could very well maybe that Janae may walk away from this, scratch-free, harm-free. But as you saw in the reoccurring footage of Ray knocking his wife out in the elevator over and over and over again, it is clear that wasn't the first time that Ray put his hands on her. She's a battered woman, just like many women, just like many men, just like many people of the elderly, just like the Muslims, just like the Spanish, just like any other race out there. What was most frustrating about the whole thing is that people turned around and put race at the forefront. It's not about race. It's about another human being putting their hands on another human being. And it just so happens to be a man putting his hand on a woman violently. But nobody's doing anything about it. No one is doing anything about it. Everybody has their comments. Everybody says, oh, well, this is what I would have done. And I can't believe she's still with him. Hey, I'm guilty. I said it because I was like, what the hell is she doing? Because I was like, what the hell is she doing? I can't believe she still married the guy. But you know what? We're not in that situation. You're not in that situation. You have no idea what is going on. So while we all sit up there and judge and have our scenarios, you still have to look at yourself and wonder, what would I have done in that situation? I'll share a story with you. My daughter, who's 19, and one of my dear friends who was on her way to the Navy, we decided to head to New York City to go to cafeteria for a brunch and we could say our goodbyes and all that good stuff. And on our way there, I think we were either on 34th Street, on 8th Avenue, or 42nd Street, driving in my friend's car. And we were at a stoplight, and there was this couple, and the guy was talking to his girlfriend, very intense. It couldn't have been his mother, couldn't have been his sister, it couldn't have been his daughter. You knew that they were a couple, and they were in an intense, quiet conversation. And I say quiet because he walked up straight to her face and he just starts speaking, but there was no yelling. And even though our windows were rolled up, you can tell that he wasn't speaking loud, but he was speaking intensely directly to her. Now, me, my daughter, my friend, we're in the car with the windows rolled up, and we're like, what is going on over there? And we're like, ooh, I hope he's not going to hit her. Then we started to do a commentary on what could be going on, you know. And while we were making our own commentary, the woman's eyes glared toward our direction as if to say, save me, help me. And we were all like, well, did you see that? We're like, yeah, we saw that. We weren't prepared to do anything. We drove away. Just like how the neighbor downstairs in your apartment were fighting, and you know things were being thrown. You know things were, people were getting, somebody was getting hit. You know that something was going on, and you ignored it. You drove away. You did not pick up the phone and dial 911. You said, let me just mind my business. Or you texted your best friend and was like, hey, something's going on in the apartment below me. Should I call the cops? Because it sounds like somebody's getting their ass kicked. And your best friend was like, no, just mind your business. And you mind your business. Just because Ray and Janae are in the spotlight, nobody's minding their business. Everybody's talking. But again, no one is doing anything. Yes, like I said, there are domestic violence organizations out there. But what are you doing? We're not doing anything. Just like how I didn't do anything. And it's time for us to start doing something. The next time you see someone on the street with someone else, and it seems like there may be an altercation, make sure you're equipped with the mace, because you don't know if they're going to go off on you. And you approach and say, hey, is everything okay? Is everything okay? Do you need any help? Now, one or two things could happen. They'll say, get the hell out of my face, mind your business. Or the other person who is in fear might say, yes, help me. He or she is trying to kill me. He or she is trying to hurt me. The next time the neighbor puts his hands or her hands on their loved one, will you pick up the phone and call 911? Will you go down there on your own to see if everything is okay? Well, I hope so. I really hope so, because women like Janae needs help. If you recall the movie, What's Love Got to Do with It? Or even if you know the movie, heard the movie, What's Love Got to Do with It? It's the story about Tina Turner and how she made it big. What I didn't know when I was younger, that Tina was a battered woman. It wasn't until I saw the movie that she was a battered woman. I was like, why doesn't she just leave? Why doesn't she just go? You know, but she just wanted to make sure that Ike was okay and that he was going to get back and make those songs and they were going to be one again. There's a breaking point. Everybody has a breaking point. Tina had her breaking point. Janae may have her breaking point. It might not be right now, or next month, next year. And I really hope that the breaking point doesn't force someone into the grave at a young age. I sure hope that the breaking point doesn't land someone in jail for the rest of their life. Tina had her breaking point. And her breaking point was when she was in the limo and I hit her. She took off her shoe and started beating him, and he took off his boot and started beating her. And you know, she went up to the hotel, tried to fix her face, realized it wasn't going to happen, and then she was like, you know, I'm out. He's sleeping. I'm out. I'm going to run across the street, and I'm going to do whatever I can to leave this man for good this time. She had her breaking point. She had her breaking point. Most people who come from battered homes have their breaking point. Most people who have their breaking point, they go through all sorts of emotions. And as a friend or as a bystander, it is up to us to say, we are right here. Don't judge. Don't ask, why didn't you leave? It was difficult for them. Don't ask, well, weren't you scared? What about your children? Just be there for them. Domestic violence is serious. So what are you going to do? Are you going to sit there and continue to make your comments on Twitter on how silly Janae is? I'll admit, I made my comments. But you know, it has to stop. And we have to start doing. And we have to volunteer. We have to go to group sessions and hear what these people go through. And it's not just women who are getting beaten up. And it's not just black men who are beaten up on their wives and their girlfriends. It's blacks, Hispanics, Muslim, Jews, every race, every sex, every color. Children are getting battered all the time. The elderly are being mistreated and beaten all the time. Now, I was never beaten by my ex-husband. I was choked up a couple times, twice. And it happened over like a 5-year time period. The second time it happened, I told him he needed to go get help. He didn't want to do it. I said, all right, cool. I walked on eggshells for a couple months. And then, you know, my wall finally broke down. And then maybe like 5 years after that, there was a moment. He shared with me that he didn't appreciate certain things that were going on in our marriage. And he was talking about it with one of his coworkers who happened to be a woman. I'm like, I didn't appreciate that. I'm like, why are you talking about our marriage with another woman and your coworker at that? Speak about our problems with our family members. We've got tons of them. Maybe our best friends, but you know, she doesn't know us. She doesn't know me. She doesn't know you. That was the wrong thing for me to say, because the car filled up with rage and he yelled and he went off. And if the car was not going 65 miles per hour on the highway, I would have jumped out of the car. And by the time he pulled up to my workplace and I got out of the car, I walked to the locker room and I hunched down in the corner and curled up like a baby and I cried. And I knew then that I had to get out. And I got out. I left 2 weeks later. And it was the best thing that I ever did. We communicated after I left, and it was like a couple months in, the divorce proceedings were underway, and he asked if I was seeing anybody, and I was like, oh, yeah, not really, you know, just testing the waters or whatever. I thought I was able to say that, you know, he was asking. And then that was the wrong thing for me to say, because then he starts saying, oh, nobody else would love you like I will love you. And not even your sister, not even your friends. Nobody cares about you the way that I care about you. And I looked at the phone like, what is this craziness going on in the phone right now? And I hung up. I knew he wasn't going to come up there to find out why I hung up, because he was in the Carolinas and I was in New York. You see, I put a lot of distance between us. I thought, well, he wouldn't be able to make it from the Carolinas to New York on one tank of gas. So he's going to have to think a little bit. And he wouldn't be able to get on the plane with any type of weapon to come and get to me sooner. So I thought I played a smart move. And a lot of times these women, we stay in situations and we don't give enough distance. That's still staying in the situation. You can move out, but if you're in the same city, same state, you're still in the situation because it's still too close. So that's how I got out. Mind you, I was not knocked out like Janae. I wasn't beaten like Tina. But I knew something wasn't right. 3 strikes and you're out. I was out. I left. Now, women may not be able to have that strength to leave right then and there. Janae will find her strength to either stay or go. And for all the other Janae Rices out there, I hope that we take a stand and say, hey, when you need help, I am right here. So what are you going to do to help victims of domestic violence? Share your thoughts and views in the comment box, or email your sharp and insightful comments to astutestories@gmail.com. Your responses may wind up in my blog post. I'm going to wrap this episode up of Better Said Than Written, the podcast supplement of Arts of Cultures, where I make a personal connection with today's trending topics. Don't worry, I'll share my views of the New York Times bestseller, How to Be Black, in an upcoming episode, because who knows what's going to be trending next week, where I have to make my personal connection. Thanks for listening.